Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to part one.
Greetings and welcome to Thursday's Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Here's a clue to tonight's show and study. Dunamis of Acts, part 12, Overseers, Church of God, on battle lines. It had taken hold in the Roman Empire, and the Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of men and women, regardless of those who opposed the message. Now, a staunch warning was given. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, the 10th day of May, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 26, starting at verse 3 through chapter 27, verse 34. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 19 through chapter 17, verse 14. The New Testament portion is Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through chapter 10, verse 41. Go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or Get Healthy Young Living to listen to the latest shows by The Watchman and the newest articles that The Watchman's written. Our show from last night, Prophecy News and the Book of Acts Part 2, Is This Occurring Today?, has been posted, and we are revealing what is happening. On the show, we have Prophecy News, Christian Pastors Imprisoned But Not Forsaken. That was very exciting. Nigerian Persecution, Word Events, and more, and a journey into the whirlwind of the last days. So, and the newest featured post by The Watchman is Gun Control, Talk to Your Guns Immediately. Even our forefathers warned us of the dangers of those who would take away our nation and our rights. Before a standing army could rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. America, sins of thy sister Sodom. In Judah, sins and idolatry corrupted them. They were warned of their sister Sodom. It is the sins of thy sister Sodom that hath corrupted you, O America. It is the example of Judah that is a warning for you, America. Battleground expunged. American agenda expunged. The battleground had been here before. This time, the American agenda will be expunged. That is the goal. The vow to destroy the foundation of America has been carried out in the secret agenda which was given to the colonel. And this is an excerpt from the book by The Watchman, Steal the Darkness. It's a great read. So check that out. Check out our Get Healthy Young Living radio show, where we feature oils and healthy eating and living, so you can live young as you grow old. You can go to gethealthyyoungliving.com, warn-usa.com, or danaglennsmith.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio, also on Twitter at #watchmanis216. #WarnRadio or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greeting, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Well, we're here on a Thursday night again. And
yes, that's great.
And we're just counting down the days. We always go through the days. And, of course, the last week's been kind of really busy, so it's nice. Today was kind of a little quieter this afternoon, which is good. I like quiet once in a while.
Yes, that's always a good thing.
Well, last week, you know, we had some major troubles, and we got through those on the sites, and so, well, here we are a week later, and we're still plugging on, and a lot of things going on in the world. Many people expect the Iran-Israel war. Israel herself, there's a number of them that are talking about Ezekiel 38. And it's really, if you look at it, Iran is trying to take on Israel. If, you know, Israel wipes the floor with them, it could be very well that Assad, Syria, and the Russian forces might want to get involved. And, of course, then that would be the Ezekiel 38. There's a lot of things going on like that. And, of course, Iran, they didn't need an excuse to go after Israel.
Nope.
Not at all. They've hated Israel. You know, I mean, a lot of these Muslim nations, they just live on hatred towards Israel and America. It's just like, dear God in heaven, you know, wake up and get your head out of the proverbial nether region. You know, that's just where they stick it, you know. I'm going to make war no matter what. I'm going to hate you no matter what.
Yeah.
They live in hate. They raise their kids in hate. And they wind up, you know, they're miserable.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, that's why when you get over in the main, really, scheme of things, there's a lot of Muslims that actually turn to the Lord right now. There's a lot of them. And, of course, we've been talking about that. And so, you know, then you look at America. So, well, at any rate, a lot of things going on, and we're getting closer to summer. And, of course, it's not surprising the Democrats and all the others continue to hate and hate Trump. Although, I forgot who it was. Somebody came out today and was getting after all the liberals and Democrats because, you know, I mean, they just, you know, he was talking about the fact that, you know, that they just, you know, go blitzkrieg every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, you people come off, and these are my words, you know, as crazy, you know, as nincompoops. You're just nuts, you know. And it once in a while you get, you know, maybe excited, but not every day. That was his point. He says, you people, every day you're doing this. He says, every day, every show, that's enough.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he goes on and says a lot more, but it was really good what he said. I forgot who it was. It's over on Breitbart. But, you know, I mean, I don't know how they live that way, but they do. Of course, Maxine Waters, I just think she's nuts anyway, so it doesn't matter. She don't know she's nuts because she's nuts. You know, you know, that's just the way it is. So at any rate, I don't go there, you know. The thing of it is, who was that anyway? I think it was NBC that actually interviewed Pence.
Really?
And the first few things I seen that they actually put down that he said really wasn't bad. So it's kind of wow, you know. Now, the CNN has come off as absolutely nuts. Matter of fact, this was reported that CNN has fallen in their ratings. Just they're plunging because of the way they're so nuts and, you know, just you know, hating Trump and all the rest of this stuff. And, you know, and the whole problem of it is, in all of these, most of the time money is what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah.
And they continue to report all this stuff because there's a lot of listeners that want it. And so they feed the fodder, you know, and they'll even make things up in order to feed it, you know, or they might exaggerate it. Let's put it that way. But, you know, there was a thing that came out today, and it was, and the documents came out that Comey was heading off to meet with Mueller long before Mueller ever began his full thing.
Huh.
Comey was meeting with him in,
it
said, and that's when he was still in the FBI, because they were meeting to, probably figure out how to bring down Trump. But, because there was a lot of that in the government. You know, there was a lot of conspiratorial stuff in the government against Trump. Before, you know, when it looked like he was going to win.
Uh-huh.
And we know that. Some stuff came out. So the fact that he made it in spite of them shows you that there was a deep state, and that there are people in there in the government that work underhandedly behind the scenes against democracy, against the republic, against the freedom of men who vote. So, you know, but the biggest news, you know, Israel, has got Jerusalem as an embassy. Even though the war started, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nobody wants war. But it's going to come sooner or later, because the Arabs just live on the edge of, let's put it this way, Ishmael lives on the edge of hating Isaac. Just like Cain slew Abel.
I mean,
that's just the way it is. You have one that has righteous deeds before God. You have the other that just lives and possessed of hatred and murder. And that's not the way to live, you know. And in America, you know, people, if they disagree, let them disagree, but disagree agreeably.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, you don't have to be so uncivil, hatred, just absolutely like you have lost a cog, you know. And that's the way it is in America today, and that's the way it is in the news, you know. And I don't care for any of these liberal news people at all. I mean, as far as the way they do it, I don't know them, but I don't like, you know, what they do and how they go to off. I can't stand a lot of the people in the news that's coming out of Hollywood and other places in the media because of the way they are. You know, they. You know, it's just that they're nuttier than a fruitcake. And, you know, just, you know, I mean, it's crazy. I also saw where they were shutting down the Hawaii National Park for because they were expecting, Kalawea to blow? Or is that already blown? At any rate, one of them's blown, and they were expecting another one.
Well, they're expecting... I don't know if it happened today, but they're expecting Kilauea, however you say that, to blow stuff out. When the lava gets below sea level, it'll heat up what's in there, and it'll shoot it out of the thing, ash and rocks and debris. It'll be a mess.
Well, I did see the headline to that, yeah. So they closed the park down. Well, you know, you're only on, you know, I don't know how close all them islands are over there, but, you know, that, you know, where do you go? I mean, if you're in an island, you know, and it's starting to blow up, I don't know where you're going to go. Spencer Tracy started a movie called The Devil at 4 O'Clock. It's a really good movie. It's about a missionary who is Spencer Tracy, and how he rescues, and he has a number of others that are there that you know in the movie, and including the guy that recorded all the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, what was his name? Oh, I know. I like his voice.
Well, at any rate, he's in that movie.
Yeah.
And so, but at any rate, it's about an island, and the thing blows, and how they have to get off of it. So, I mean, when you are on an island like that, there's nowhere to go, you know. Just like if it's going to blow, that's the whole island, you know. So at any rate, I mean, I'm not much of an island person, but, you know, we've got, you know, they've been chatting about Yellowstone for a long time. I don't worry about Yellowstone.
No, I don't either.
Know, I just, it's...
It doesn't frighten me a bit. If it goes, it goes.
Yeah, I'm not there, don't care, you know. I look to the Lord, and I don't live in fear. I have no intention to live in fear.
No.
That's the way it is, you know. I may not like certain things, but I'm not going to live in fear. And I purpose to live by faith, and I have, and I've talked about this a lot. And, you know, if you're going to purpose to live by faith and to rise above the rest of it, you got to rise above it. There's certain things you don't want to watch, certain things you don't want to do, certain things, you know. I mean, you know, we talked about sanctification a lot. But see, there's really a sanctification, as far as a Christian goes, by abstaining from certain activities that is bad for your faith. So, you know, when you sanctify yourself, you just say, well, you know, I'm going to purpose. I'm not going to defile myself by believing, you know, by becoming fearful. Now, see, that defiles you. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And fear will always lead to unbelief. And unbelief is sin, because it's not faith. And whatsoever isn't of faith is sin. So this is the way it works. I mean, you make up your own decisions here. But
yeah.
So at any rate, you know, we are glad to be heading into the summer months. And we are working on getting everything to a new host. We haven't started yet. We still have got to finalize it, but we're taking a little breather here, and so you know, it's just one of those things. You know, to do things like that, it just requires money, it requires expertise, it requires a lot of things in order to get all that done. And the Lord's always provided, and you know, we're going to be moving the thing. And it's the right thing to do, because we even had trouble with one of the emails, and I don't like those emails. I want to change a few things, so it just requires, once we change everything like that, it takes a lot of techie stuff, little things here and there that you got to readjust and put up and change and things, because you've moved, you've done this, you've changed emails or whatever. It just is a lot of little techie work.
Yeah.
You know, just
above
little,
my head,
and then
over my head,
and then you got all of the companies that always do updates. So then I got to update everything, and something happened after this latest Windows 10 update in the spring. It's called the Spring Update, April 2018, and that is that Google Chrome don't work very good. It doesn't load. It's really weird. It's looked like it's missing a major portion of its own coding. And of course, I guess I shouldn't, you know, it really shouldn't surprise me, because, you know, Google and Microsoft were never kissing cousins. You know, they always hated one another.
Yeah.
And of course, Microsoft now is getting back into court with, I think it's Apple, and they did go to court one time before, and now they're heading to court again. But see, there was kind of a romance developing between Microsoft and all the others,
mm-hmm.
because Microsoft had gotten so rich and successful, and of course then they had a portion where they fell down, and they got this new guy here, and then so he started the whole Windows 10 thing, which was a new venture, and it actually, you know, Google was actually going to make a Windows 10, allow Windows 10 to do it, and they were going to, Microsoft was going to make a lighter version of Windows 10 to put on the tablets. So You know, the romance isn't over yet because Microsoft still wants to do a lot of that. But, you know, believe you me, whenever they do these updates and you put them in, you got to be very careful because these updates are notorious for having certain things go wrong. And, you know, it's just, it's operating pretty much, you know, for what I've got. But we've got all new stuff. We, you know, I mean, everything I keep updated. So, all the drivers, I mean, everything you got to keep up. There's everything you got to watch on this.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it drives you nuts. I mean, there's always, and on our websites and all of our stuff, all of our coding, everything. Everything has to be updated all the time because there's somebody around the corner that wants to hack you. And that's, you know, I still, you know, it's hard for me to think that some guy just came along and hacked our website because they're almost impossible to hack that way. This, folks, really seemed like there was some other shenanigans going on somewhere else. And I don't want to say, but there's, I've got sneaking suspicions here and there's no way of proving it. But, I think somebody got away with something.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I don't know. You know, I'm just glad to be able to get it back up and everything. But, you know, you just can't, you know, you got to keep yourself safe. Matter of fact, coming up on Sunday on our Get Healthy and Living. Now, we didn't do one last Sunday because we were all the websites were down. And Get Healthy Young Living didn't go down, but we were busy since, you know, I mean, we're it. So, you know, if we're doing shows, that means we can't get the website back up. And when it took 4 days, as it was about to get for me working full time to get the website up. This week we're going to do that. And we were going to talk about how to stay safe on the internet and all the dangers on it. And I don't know if we're going to do it or not, but it we'll either do it this Sunday or another time. But we do, Tower, and I do want to, on our Get Healthy Young Living, we do want to talk about safety online.
Yes, we do.
So at any rate, we're going to have to get off here and get going.
Okay, that sounds like a good plan, Stan.
Good plan, Stan. Okay.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Yep. Okay, we are in Dunamis of Acts, Part 12, and this portion is Overseers of the Church of God. And, you know, we left off in Acts 20, and we've got the last four verses I'm going to be going over just to give you an idea where we were. And Paul is talking here. And he says, he's going to Jerusalem, and he said that he was bound in the Spirit, and told through the Holy Spirit that persecutions and imprisonment await him, which it did. When you follow how Paul gets from Jerusalem all the way to Rome, it's an amazing story, because along the way, he does develop, friendship with a Roman officer on board the ship. He actually saves him, and, it's quite a story. But at any rate, in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, see, these are things that statement there is really, really a good statement. Because, no matter what the Holy Spirit is telling him about imprisonment and danger and stuff, he is fully confident in the Lord, in the fact that God is leading him, that he is willing, you know, to lose his life for the Lord if that's what it's going to be. But see, when you're in the ministry or living as a believer, you lose yourself to the Lord anyway. I mean, you submit to his will. But he says he wants to finish his course with joy in the ministry. And of course, that's a goal. You know, you want to, it is accounted unto men to be faithful. We are to be faithful as his children, whether you're in the ministry or not. And our whole goal in life should be one thing, to make it to the end, being faithful. And he says, the ministry, he says, which I've received of the Lord. See, the ministry, you don't create the ministry. You receive it of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul did. He was appointed an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, for the rest of us, we may not have the Lord God appear to us. We may not have all the bells and whistles or whatever you may think. But the Lord does move in the hearts of men, and his Spirit does move in within his people. And so God makes the will known, especially those who he calls. And when you receive that, you're expected to be faithful. And Paul, you know, it's just one of these simple statements about being faithful and just wanting to finish it. And he says, now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. And that's quite a statement, because he was pretty close to a lot of them, a lot of people around that, you know, he was the one that... the paramount, apostle, and so they would have, you know, felt, you know, sad. But he had left a number of people in charge, people who had been with him, and so he was able to go do what the Lord had done. Because there comes a time when you have to move on. And the duty falls to somebody else. And, we've been doing this for 20 years, and we plan on doing it as long as we can. But there may come a day that, it's time for us to quit, time for us to move on. Maybe the night cometh when no man can work. But everything comes to an end sooner or later. And even if you're not in the ministry as a Christian, you know, in your family, being married, whatever it is, you know, life has a tendency to pass by real quickly. And you have to be able to, number one, enjoy every day that God gives you and be thankful. And too many times, I don't think we do that. Because we take it for granted, you know, your family's here all the time and time passes real quickly and you're just not fully there where you should be. But I'm just urging you in this, just to reevaluate your family and where you're at. And, you know, if you haven't been close to them, get close. You know, if you haven't forgiven someone, forgive them. Whatever it is, you know, life is short, folks. So now we're up to verse 28 of chapter 20. And Paul is talking to those who he's leaving in charge. And this is another verse I really, really like. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Now see, all these churches we have in America and around the world do not belong to men. Now, they've put man-made denominations on them, man-made names. They've got, a lot of them have their own doctrines. They have their own interpretation. They have their own particular way of doing things. But the people who have accepted the Lord in whatever church they're in today, wherever it's at around the world, and if they truly believe and have received him, they are the Lord's. And he purchased them with his own blood. And it is a very... conducive to the fact that if you fail to take heed, then judgment will find you. You are to take heed to the fact that God appointed you not to be some pompous dictator, but you are a minister and you are there to feed the flock and give them according to the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes you have to feed them the sharp word of God, the fire, and other times you feed comfort. You know, you don't slaughter the lambs every time you see them. You feed them. You know, the idea is to feed the flock of God so they live and they are nourished. Now, sometimes, of course, you might find a wolf and you have to give the sharp word of God. And sometimes you have to give the word of God to call him back. And it's the same thing you would with anybody. If you were going to warn him, you would shout. You would alert him. And Paul's saying here, take heed to yourselves. Now, this is a pertinent warning to those that he's leaving. You pay attention to what you're doing, because what you're doing is you're overseeing the Lord's flock, and he's not going to take kindly if you abuse his flock. Now, see, God did not take kindly to the leaders in Judah and in Israel at the time when they misled his people. And they did, and they got judged severely for it. And even the prophets and the priests in the temple. And if you want to know what God thinks of that, you get into Ezekiel chapter 14 through 16. That's just a few. You could even go from chapter 12, but you read in there, and you're going to find out what God thinks when the prophets and the priests and everybody else, the leaders, go off on their own and lead their people into sin. Because God isn't going to put up with it. And that is a perfect example. And he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now see, this is the unfortunate thing, and it wasn't just with Paul, but it was with all the apostles. And I've mentioned this a lot too, because this is really what's happened. You and I are here a long ways away from the apostolic doctrine and from the original, giving of everything. And we have a lot of people who believe things as the result of grievous wolves who have led them astray. And there are people that believe fables, and they think that they're doing the right thing. You can't talk to them, you can't warn them, you can't do anything. But see, the deception has already entered in a long, long, long time ago. And Paul warns about this, especially because he knows that the minute he leaves... because Paul was right there, you know. I mean, he would challenge him, jump right in the middle of it, and he'd debate with him, you know, and he wouldn't put up with it. And he says, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And you know, perverse is not good. But see, this is exactly, you know, that one thing we need to understand, and especially today, there is that user-friendly church out there that's willing to, you know, make it easy for those people to come in. Of course, they don't mention sin, they don't, and they accept a lot of things they shouldn't. So there's, you know, too many times over, you know, all the centuries, it's a man-pleasing event in church. It is a political thing. It is that arena that is established, and men get power and they don't want to let it go. There's jealousies and rivalries even in the ministry. It's disgusting, but that's the way it is. I know it. You know, it's just the way it is. And you just, man, you got to look to the Lord. You know, if you look to men, you're going to be so screwed up you won't know which way is up. I mean, literally, you cannot look at men. And you know, if you're in a church, you know, and the pastor or the deacons or something isn't scriptural, get your butt out of there. You know, I mean, go and ask the Lord to direct you. But today, you know, that's the way it is. It was in Paul's day. He warned about it, and they entered in. You know, you figure after 100 AD, all the original apostles were gone. And, of course, their disciples could have been still around, probably were. And then their disciples. So you figure you go up to around 200 AD, but see... these
wolves entered in right away. The minute, you know, and this happened also right after major persecutions. You know, Paul was killed. He was martyred. Peter was martyred. And, you know, John lived to old age, but, you know, a lot of them were martyred. And when they're martyred, there's no leaders left, you know, and the seeds of the church has been planted. And so it's up to the power of God and his spirit to take care of the church. And see, this is the example we have from China, for instance. When China became communist and all the missionaries were chased out, they left. Nobody knew for decades whether there was even a Christian church left in China. But then when it was finally revealed that there was house churches everywhere, that there was men full of the power of God and things were really moving, we understood that, yes, God is in charge of his church. He's the one responsible. And this is what we're seeing when on our Prophecy News show. When we talk now, we bring up what God is doing in the world as far as Christianity. And we are seeing a mighty move of God, just like in the book of Acts. And, you know, reports are coming in. And we're talking about, you know, Muslims getting saved. And they're going out and being adept in the, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. And just, you know, folks, this is the Lord's church. And whenever we forget it, we're in trouble. So no matter how bad things may get, God is in charge. And when he's in charge, it also means that he knows who you are. And see, these things are all pertinent, because when Paul was leaving, they could have been concerned. And I guarantee you, a lot of them would have been, because he was going to go away and they didn't know. And Paul didn't even know, but it actually turned out that he ministered for 2 years after he got to Rome and actually, you know, met with Caesar there and everything. And he ministered for 2 years declaring the gospel. People got saved. There was Christians there that were encouraged. You know, this is what it is. You know, you don't know, but God has things under control. Just like when we think about Joseph, who was sold into slavery, and when he eventually became second in command in the kingdom, and God used that to save, you know, the rest of Israel, you know, you know, all of his brothers and his dad and everything, his family, and of course, this is how God works. And of course, we are in these last days. And so Paul says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And, you know, you think about this. Now, this is a guy that is not a liar. But when he was in a town, he would go into the synagogues almost all the time and meet with Jews, and he would spend the time in there speaking and debating with the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah, Yeshua is the Messiah. And here he says, warned everyone night and day with tears, trying to get him to repent. Now see, you look at America, you look at the churches. It was said a long time ago when I was, many, many years ago, we used to talk about this, and, you know, the unbelievers, if this was really true, that you needed to be saved and that the end was coming, wouldn't you be out screaming on the streets to get people to be saved? And you would think that you would be doing that. But see, you have to be led of the Lord. And of course, Paul just didn't blatantly go anywhere. He, wherever he went, which was in the synagogues. And he was on Mars Hill, you know, wherever he went, he would warn them as long as it took. You know, the importance of knowing this God through his Son. And see, this is a commitment. These things are important for us today. This is the flock of God. And the overseers need to take heed how they act. They have to understand their responsibility. And that there's going to be false prophets and false teachers trying to draw people away from you. And there are going to be a lot of people who may not believe. And so even if you were today, especially in America, go out and just scream your fool head off and say you take a shofar and just blow it until you can't blow it anymore and you're creating a ruckus, well, the cops are going to come and they're going to lock you up. And are you going to change anybody's mind? No. Now see, Paul's talking about this in the context of who he is. He is able to talk and debate with anybody at that time because he knew the Word of God. He knew the law inside and out. He knew how Yahshua had fulfilled the prophecies. And so he could talk with them all. And he would sit there at length doing these things. You know, he's not going to stand outside the governor's house, you know, of a certain province and yell and scream like a fool. No, you got to use wisdom. You got to be led of the Spirit. And when you find people and you talk with them, be prepared for an extended stay. You know, I need to talk to you and answer the questions and deal with it. And he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, the one thing I found in the Bible that I really, really like in the Bible, and that is when you come to the summary at the end of all the books, because they wrap things up. And here you see more of a personal thing, you know, last reminders. And you see the personal aspect of who's speaking. And, you know, this is his seriousness. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. What else is he going to do? Which is able to build you up, he says, and to give you an inheritance. He's given them hope and letting them know that, hey, I'm giving you to God because I'm not going to be here. And the word of his grace, it's able to build you up, so don't forsake it. And it will give you an inheritance. So if you're having problems after I leave, look to the word which you will find his grace. His grace is his favor which will build you up. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you continue in that, you will find your inheritance. Because all of those who are sanctified in the name of Jesus Christ by faith and come unto the Father. You know, we go to him by faith, but we also imbibe, take in the word of his grace. These are really good words. And of course, he makes some statements here. And I like these because it reveals who he is. He says in verse 33 of Acts 20, I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. Now, make no mistake, folks. In America, we have a lot of idols, and there's people that have a lot of gods. You can have a god, and it can be, you know, your house. It can be your husband or your wife. It can be inanimate objects. See, because we in America have so much. You know, money itself, success itself, can turn into be our idol. And for Paul to say, in other words, he was willing to go, whether he had silver, gold, or apparel, he was just going to go. Whatever it took, he was going to do it. And he says, yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In other words, he labored. And it was well known, him being a tent maker, it was well known that he would go out and he would work whenever he needed to. And, you know, we do talk about this when we talk about home missions, when we talk about getting the gospel out. You know, the gospel is not about having a lot of people give you money and support the way we've done in America. Now, God has made allowances for those to preach the gospel that they should live off the gospel, that if they minister to you of spiritual things, they can live off of your physical things when you donate to them. God has made that allowance. But see, the bottom line is that we give the word of God out. We preach, we teach, and we do these things because we're not doing them for money. We're not doing them, you know, and you make allowances. You make commitments. This is who I am, you know. You know, we do have people that support us and help us, you know, but we don't have a ton of people. We don't do a lot of things that most of the ministers in the world do. We don't do that. We work, and we don't covet silver, gold, or apparel. We'd like to have some land, like to have a house. We don't have a house. You know, the number one thing is the gospel and the call, what we're doing. And see, this is what Paul, see, he's going to be gone. And he wants to make sure that the air is clear. You know, because if he says this, they can come back and say, well, yeah, but you coveted this of mine, or whatever. And so he's letting them know, I have not coveted your silver, gold, or apparel. And you know, because you've been with me, he's saying, how that my own hands have provided my own necessity and living. I've worked. I haven't come begging to you. You didn't support me. You took care of your family. You listened to me. I dealt with you, you know, and brought you the word. And then I went and I supported myself with my own two hands. That's what he's saying. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And yet this is what Paul said. You support the weak. He said, I've shown you this. And to remember the words of the Lord, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so these are personal things. This is the essence of who Paul was. He didn't covet anything. He didn't consider his life. His life was the Lord's. He was prepared to live or die at any times. He was prepared to work if he had to do a job. He would go into an area and he'd either stay there if he had to flee right away because they were beating him up, or if he got beat up and they left him for dead, he would get up and go back to work. Whatever it took is what he was willing to do. And see, this is the call. When you talk about being an apostle, you know, you see all these people in America, and they get on TV and they're all dressed up, and they have, and you have a few of the evangelists, and they have multi-million dollar planes and multi-million dollar houses, and they have all these things. That is not the gospel in the early days. That's not the apostle Paul at all. Now, you have to decide what you think about it. You have to make up the decision. I don't agree with the way we do things in this country and in the church. I think that we are the Laodicean church. And I think we are in trouble in this country. And I think that Christians are in trouble. And I think they have no clue, because the leaders, just like in the land of Israel, the leaders have led them astray. Period. And so here, Paul is closing And he said when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. See, this was love of the brethren. Now, you see, in the Middle East and in foreign countries, you know, it's nothing for you know, if you love somebody, you know, give them a hug and a kiss on the cheek. You know, men will even do that with other men. But today, we are so corrupted and perverted. You know, they think, oh, they're queer or something. You know, we are so hardened, so meticulously sinful and prideful in many of the things we do. We have no clue as to what true love really is. And I can tell you, these people were fellow laborers. They had been with Paul, but they were not invited to this party Paul was going on. They could not go with him. They had responsibilities. There was a move of God, and Paul has left them in charge, and they were going to be working with the Lord to build the church even greater. And he says, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. And I can just see that, you know, leave, you know, it's like saying goodbye, you know. And you don't think you're ever going to see him again. You know, I remember when I was a young man in the service, I was 17 years old. I was one of the last group, crop of American kids to be able to get into the military. I was in the Navy at the age of 17. I was a young punk. And so, you know, there I remember the first Christmas. I wasn't at home. I wasn't at home when all the family was doing their stuff. But of course, you know, there were groups and there were other servicemen that was just like that, and you found your fellowship there. You was able to do things. But this is growing up. And see, this is an early church, and they're learning to grow up now. Because the church can't depend on Paul forever. The church can't depend on John. They can't depend on Peter. They can't depend on James. They can't depend on these guys forever. These guys were the seeds of the church. They're the beginning of it. Christ was the initial seed, and then their lives are the other seeds. See, and this is how the church has grown over the years, is the blood of the saints that have gone on before, the seeds and the lives of those who have gone on. This is who you belong to. You just don't belong to a little denomination of certain, you know, like you're a Methodist or whatever you are, a Presbyterian or Assembly of God or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, we are deeper than that. And if your faith is just connected to your one church, then you don't have the full scope of it. You know, we're supposed to love the brethren in Christ. It didn't say, well, if you're Assembly of God, just love the Assemblies of God and the Church of God. It doesn't say if you're Baptist, just to love Baptists and not the Pentecostal. If we are Christians, and if we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, then there must be more love in this country among the brethren, because the Lord said, by this shall you know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And I'm going to tell you flat out, folks, there is not that love in the church today. And you can say what you want to, you can deceive yourself, but I'm telling you it's not there. And God will judge this church. He will judge this church before he will judge this nation called America. You can take that to the bank. He will always judge the church before he judges the nation. So you had better wake up. Dear God in heaven, help us, O Lord. And with that, we're coming down to the end of first hour. And we break these up into about an hour segments. And we do that to make it easier to upload them, for the people to download them, and also to get them on their phones. And so I want to remind you here, we're going through Acts. And we're going through Pentecost on Friday nights. And be sure to check out the websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And if you haven't signed up to our emails, you can. These things pop up on all of our websites. You can sign up for the email list to get the news that comes out. I don't do a lot of sending out stuff. It's all automated. I set it up that way. When we have new posts, it'll automatically go out. And once in a while, I'll send out something from me to everybody. But, you know, I know I've signed up to a number of things, always have, because we get information in. And some people just abuse it. I mean, I'm getting, in the morning, I'll have five emails from them. I don't want five emails from everybody. I don't have enough time to read all that junk. You know, so I don't send you a lot of junk. I mean, if you want to know what we're doing, if you want to know what the shows were, then sign up to those and you'll get them. If you don't want to, then don't sign up. It's as simple as that. So, at any rate, we're going to get done with hour one here. And we'll be back.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, May 10th, 2018, and you are listening to Warren Radio. Be sure to join us Sunday for Get Healthy Young Living, where we'll be talking about staying safe online, among other things. Also, you can go to warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to listen to the latest shows and read the articles by The Watchman. And now I welcome back The Watchman for Part 12, Dunamis of Acts, Overseers, Church of God.
Thank you, Tower.
You're welcome.
So we are seeing Paul say goodbye to all those that were he had been working, because he knew now he had to go back to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was one of those places that Paul knew very well. Now, we know him as Paul, but it was actually Shaul, or we call him Saul. And he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was taught under Gamaliel. He would have been very knowledgeable. He said he followed the law above many of his own peers, following the law blamelessly. He had been given power by the chief priests to go after the Christians. He would have been part of the Sanhedrin. He would have been well-known, well-liked, and well-respected until he became a Christian. Now, at first, they were a little confused as what it would happen to him, what happened to him. But once he started debating with them and they found out they couldn't out-debate him and he had the upward hand and people started believing, then their tolerance for him turned to hatred, and they targeted him anywhere he went. So after a while, he became a target. Those who followed him became a target. The believers who were in little groups became a target for Judaizers and other Jews who would enter in pretending to be like him and would try to lead the Gentiles astray. This was common at the time. So he's going back to the fire, folks. And he knows he's going back to the fire. And indeed, it is a fire. And, Paul was one of those, though, he could stand the heat. You know, they say, you know, if you can't stand the heat in the kitchen, don't go in there. And having worked in professional kitchens for more years than I care to tell you, and running them, you know, it's true. If you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. Yeah, and it's the same way in this. You know, don't put yourself in a predicament that God didn't prepare you for, you didn't prepare for. See, just don't go out willy-nilly and say, oh, goody, I'm a Christian, I'm going to go take on everybody. That ain't the way it works. God has to call you, have to be anointed, and you have to be led of the Spirit. You don't go in your own power. Israel found that out. You don't go in your own power. When you do, you get defeated. You have to go in the power of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord, the guidance of the Lord, and the call of the Lord. That's how it works. And in Acts 21 and verse 1, and it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes. Now Rhodes is pretty popular. And from thence unto Patara, and finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand, and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples. Now it's kind of interesting, we talk about Syria, because when ISIS was going through, I was paying really close attention to all this during the 24-2015, and we were reporting on this. And of course the Syriac church is over there, and you know, they claim to be established from the time of Paul. They had a lot of move of God going on. So we think of Syria today, we think of Assad, we think of Islam, there were a lot of Christians. I mean, God was moving. And so, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Now, you see, it's interesting that they would say that, because they knew in their spirit, the Holy Spirit had revealed to them that persecution awaited Paul. They knew trouble awaited. But see, Paul had already been given a higher commission. He was to go there. He knew he had to go there, and he was prepared to lose his life. And I think that when Paul went to Jerusalem, he was prepared, you know, possibly getting killed. But he was prepared to do that. But he went anyway. So there could have been a struggle within Paul, knowing that it was that dangerous. But see, this is the other thing. See, today one of the big things is personal prophecies. And personal prophecies are not good. We overdo them. And it's not good. I don't do personal prophecies. You want direction from the Lord, I'll tell you. You need to fast and pray and seek the Lord and get in the Word of God yourself. Because I can tell you, when I need guidance for the Lord, I'm not going to call you up and have you tell me what the Lord's will is. I'm not going to call you up and ask for you to do a prophecy to tell me what the Lord wants me to do. No, that ain't going to happen. I'm going to look to the Lord, and He'll let me know. And see, Paul knew. And just because you know, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be restless in your spirit. It doesn't mean that your flesh doesn't say, don't go. You go by faith, and that's how Paul had to go. You go by faith. It's something you have to do. You go by faith. That's it. You believe it. You know, the Spirit of God is within you, and the Spirit of God urges you. It rises up within you. You know you have to do it. You know they can't stop you. But see, the thing of it is that your flesh will try to war against you, but you go and you do it anyway. And see, these people meant well. They meant well. They just didn't want him to get killed. They didn't want him to get in trouble. Because this was the Apostle Paul here. This is one of the foremost leaders of the movement. They didn't want anything to happen to him. But see, Paul, going back there, would face his who Paul was. And so he went back there. And he faced it. And when he had accomplished those days, the 7 days. We departed and went our way. And they brought us on our way with wives and children till we're out of the city. We kneeled down on the shore and prayed. You know, you can see the ship. They're going to go to the ship. You know, I think of today. You go to planes, you know, and you leave. Or if you're a missionary, you get on a plane and you go to a foreign country, you send all your luggage over first. They didn't go to the church. You know, the gospel spread in the Roman Empire. They didn't have your cars. They didn't have your technology. They didn't have all your Bibles. They didn't have, little laptops to carry with them. They didn't have, you know, little smartphones with the Bible on it. You know, we got all of that. You know? I mean, we got the Word of God everywhere. We got it on our smartphones. I've got it on all my computers. I've got my grandma's Bible there. I've got another Bible over here. I've got another Bible over there. I've got all kinds of reference books. I got more stuff than you could shake a stick. They didn't have that. Why do you think the Spirit of God was moving? They didn't have the arm of the flesh, folks. Having all these Bibles and having all this technology, what is that? Is that the Spirit? No, that's called the arm of the flesh. God may be using it, but that's the arm of the flesh. And God wants you to be dependent on the Spirit of God and the Lord. He wants you to get in there with Him. Now, it's okay to get on your smartphone and read the Bible. That's fine. It's okay to listen to tapes and CDs of the Word. That's fine, but you got to get into the Word. You got to meditate. You got to think on it. You got to look at it. You got to read it. You got to follow it. You got to get it into your gut and into your heart. They didn't have that. And they turned the Roman Empire upside down. So much so that they had even heard of this way in Rome. By the time Paul gets there, he actually meets with the Jews, and all they had heard is evil about it. Of course, they heard from other Jews. And see, you know, when we go through the book of Acts, you need to realize they did this in the power of God. They didn't do it by technology. They just didn't put up a, you know, look at CBN, and nothing against CBN or TBN or any other satellite network. You know, they just shoot it around the world. You know, I get on the internet, we preach and teach, and this goes around the world, just like this. And we've been doing this for 20 years. Now, see, make no mistake. In order for Paul to get the word out, he had to go to cities and find people, talk to them. He did that all over the place. And you're going to run into people demon-possessed. You're going to run into people that hate you. You're going to run into mobs that want to kill you. You want to go, run into people that want to take you into their house and feed you and treat you well. And there were robbers and muggers and thieves and, you know, all over the Roman Empire. But they, you know, the gospel and, you know, all the guys, they went all over. Paul said, I'm going to send Timothy to you. So Timothy takes off with someone. They went in twos. You know, you don't know how good you got it. You know, you want to go over here to Lander. You want to go over here 50 miles one way. Or you want to go to another city or another state. You just go there. You either jump in your car. Or maybe you might take a train. We don't have many trains. Or you get in a plane. Boom, you're there. You want to come home? You get back on it, you know, within a short while you're here. When they said they had to get to Jerusalem, there, you know, they had to find different ships. They had to sail. That took time. The ship just didn't get there. It took time for the ship to get there. And then they had to make sure they weren't doing this in certain times of the year because that was bad for storms. And it says, and when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. So they were, you know, I can just see them on the bow of that ship watching as the ship pulls out and the others alongside the shore, they're waving. This is another goodbye, you know. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemy and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. So, see, look at this again. You know, finding more brethren. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the Evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which he did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, it's what you wrap around your waist, the firmament, to keep everything in, you know, your robe and stuff, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, the Jews did that with Jesus, too, delivered him into the hands of the Gentiles. And so Agabus, it doesn't say that he's a Jew, but, he came from Judea, and of course, he was a prophet, and so it'd be safe to say that he was a Jew, and especially when he said of the Gentiles, a fellow Gentile wouldn't have said that. He would have said Romans, you know, he would give him to the Romans, the authorities. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now see, this is where Paul had the higher calling here. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do. And see, sometimes a calling that the Lord has you do is so opposite of what people think you should be doing. And in this case, Paul was bound to go there. He had to go there. He knew it because he had to also testify in Rome. He was pressed. Now, he didn't have all the answers now, but he knew he had to go. And see, he said he was ready to die. And I think, that there was a high likelihood that in his heart he felt that this could very well be it, because he knew how, he knew them all there. You know, he was well known. And once he shows up in the city and starts preaching, it's going to be open season on him. And he knew it. And they're going to think of any way to get him. And they're going to be glad when they do it, because they're going to say, good, we finally took care of him. He's a traitor. He needs to die. He needs to get away from us. We want him to stop because he's leading people the wrong way. See, and so these Jews, they're not going to give up. And, of course, the believers who loved Paul wanted him, no, don't go there. Stay here with us. Go somewhere else. Don't go to Jerusalem, Paul. But see, they didn't understand. Nobody understood. Now see, Agabus, now this is again another time. Now see, I find it interesting. Now up the four daughters who did prophesy, didn't say they prophesied over him. But Agabus, a major, you know, a prophet, came down. And he did prophesy. Now, of course, Paul, you know, he loves them all. And, of course, all the crying and weeping, that just breaks you up, man. You know, it's just like, if there's something you got to do, you just got to do it. You can't just weep. Yeah, you know, I you know, you can just hear me. I know you love me, but I've got a call. I've got to do this. Don't break my heart anymore because I love you so much. Just, you know, you can see this in here. And he says, but you can't stop me. I've got to do it. This is the will of the Lord. Now, see, they wanted him to stop. And finally, because they couldn't persuade Paul, and of course, that's exactly why the Jews had problems with him, because once Paul got on a thing, you know, when he was bringing the word and was talking to these people, they couldn't whip him. You know, there's an old saying that when you go to talk to the Jew about Jesus Christ, you better take a sack lunch and be prepared to stay there all day and night, because that's what it'll take, if that, probably longer. You know, and Paul was like that for the Lord. You know, when they came up against him, you know, they better bring two or three people with them and a sack lunch and maybe some water, because you're going to be there a spell. And even with that, you're not going to win. He'll win. And of course, it says, and after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the following day, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his hand. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are formed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the custom. Now see, this is the problem. You're starting to find the problem now. Now see, James and all of the Jews that are in there really have a problem, because they're surrounded by the Jews. And of course, there is that Gentile faith, and then there is the fact that the Savior is a Jew, and Jewish customs, and, you know, there's this enmity that's in there. And in Acts 23 it says, Do therefore this, that we say unto thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take, and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Now see, this is interesting, because most of your church don't understand about the keeping of the law and walking orderly according to the Jews' commandments, to what they have in the law. And see, and we get it, actually we get into this with Paul, but at any rate, let's get to verse 25. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, from strangled, from fornication. Now see, that's the bottom line for the Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, there's no reason for you to take up, you know, any of these ordinances. Now see, when they were talking about it, and once you came to faith, they were not justified by walking in this. They knew they were justified by faith in Christ because they believed in him. Yet they were so ingrained to do this other, they would do it. And they combined the two. Now see, eventually this came at odds with the church and with the leaders of the church after the Gentiles, after the apostles had passed on. And by the time you get to certain of the church councils, Nicaea and the others, they were working to get rid of all the things that that the Jews do, to remove everything from Christianity 100%. And so this is part of history. This just happened, and that's why, you know, we've had, you know, ever since then, most of the Christian church having their own holy days, and not the feasts of the Lord, but their own. And, you know, they keep their own Sabbath, not the traditional biblical Sabbath, and a lot of other things, because it's part of the church council. This is what they did. Back in those days, if you even lit a candle as a Christian Gentile, they could have your head practically. I mean, you would get in trouble. I mean, you were to do nothing that the Jews did. You were not to observe in any way, shape, or form the traditional Sabbath that is found in Genesis at all. And so this is really the enmity that progressed over all of the days of the church, and it's still there today. Okay, we covered that, verse 25. Let's go to 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on them. Now, the Jews of Asia, how they got there, you know, traveled, but crying out, "Men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and has polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved." Now see, this is how they get Paul. "And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul." Now remember, they're in the Roman Empire here. And in the Roman Empire, you know, one of the laws, you can't have a mob like this. You cannot let this thing get like this. But it did. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut, and they went about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Now see, this is how quick it turned. Now see, you know, in essence, Paul should have never gone into the temple. But see, the other apostles didn't realize the extent to which Paul was hated. There was just too much enmity. And Paul, and of course, they would look at him as a traitor, which they did. And of course, they were going to kill him. Now, of course, you may say, well, how could they do it? Well, actually, you can go back in the law and find out that you can kill him. You know, you can, there is judgment, you know. When you have someone that follows another god, I mean, you get into the law. But, you know, you're supposed to have everything verified by two or three witnesses. But, see, all of these were biased witnesses. They hated Paul, you know. And of course, they were zealous for Judaism. And they thought Paul had forsaken everything. And, of course, you know, the scripture says the Jews, you know, John chapter 1, that the Lord went to his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So the Jews, they just didn't see it. The chief priest didn't see it. Paul didn't see it until after the Lord appeared to him. And so so the captain, chief captain of the band of the Roman soldiers, it says, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down into them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. So Paul is getting the living daylights beat out of him right now. He's already said he's willing, you know, to give his life. And Paul has taken lumps before. He's been left for dead. And see, this is one of the things when we look at Acts, when we talk about, is he experienced? Is he someone you can trust? And a lot of the others that ran around with Paul are people that went through the same kind of thing. And they didn't flee. They kept there. They were sturdy. They had endured persecution. And see, this is the weathering, you know. And even in China, you know, some years ago, quite a lot of years ago, I had read where they were talking about all the leaders of the church, you know, in the underground church. Most of them had spent at least 10 years in prison in China for their faith. And that's the salt work. That is the foundation of who they are. That's how you know, these people are faithful. They can be trusted. They've already gone through the fire and they came out. So there again, you know, I'm back to America. Of course, we've never been affected by that. Folks, it's coming. I know you may not want to hear it, but it's coming to this country. And the chief captain came near, this is verse 33, and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. You know, it's like he shot someone. He hadn't shot anybody. He didn't do anything. And some cried one thing and some another, and among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. When he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. They had to put him up above their head, you know, surround him and get him out of there. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him!" See, they and this is the kind of thing that happened throughout the Roman Empire. There were Jews that followed Paul around, and they would get the crowd excited, and they would go after him. I mean, look at the Lord. One minute the Lord is going through the streets in triumph; the next time they're saying, "Crucify him," and they do crucify him. So, one of the things you learn real quick, when it comes to the gospel and the truth, and that is, one minute you can be a hero, the next minute you're going to be the heel. You're going to be the one they're ready to crucify. That is the way it is. And in many countries, you know, you can have a friend and all of a sudden he's your enemy. And of course, when we talk about the last days, you know, those enemies will be those of your own household. So there's, and of course, we see this happening already around the world, especially if you're a Muslim, you get saved, your family rejects you. And verse 37, as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" "Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou an Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" But Paul said, "I am a man." And now see, the guy didn't know who he is. But Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him license or freedom to do so, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. And, of course, Paul right now is getting right into the act of things. And it's an amazing thing when we see how this happens. When we see everything going on. Now he's going to make a defense. Now see, he's actually come out of it pretty good. They looked like they were going to tear him apart. Looked like they were going to stone him and kill him. He had received a number of beatings, probably received a good beating. But when you have so many people ready to tear you apart, there's so many people, you can't adequately kick and beat them up. You know, you're just pulling and stuff. So the fact that it was such a madhouse, and this is crazy. You think about it. This is mob rule. And this is the way some people, when they're trying to, you know, forces, when they're trying to overthrow something, they do it by mob rule. So in Acts 22 and verse 1, he says, "Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent, and he saith." Now see, the other leader of the centurions, you know, the guard and everything, thought he was from Egypt, and that he had done a lot of evil things. But the fact that he knew Hebrew, you know, as well as Greek, he knew other languages, that's what did it. Now see, in verse 3 he says, "I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way." Now see, they all knew what it was, the way. Now see, we know it as Christianity. But all they could do is, well, this way, this group of people that believe in this Messiah. "I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." So he's telling them what happened. He says, "As also the high priest doth bear me witness." Now see, he had connections right to the high priest, because the high priest gave him the go-ahead. "All the estate and all the estate of the elders." Now see, this is, he just didn't do it on his own. He had power from the highest authority in Jerusalem. "From whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute." Now see, the only way Paul could have really known what was going on, he really had to get knocked off his high horse, and he did. He fell to the ground. "And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." Now see, this is a call. This is an amazing call. This is a true biblical apostolic call of God. And you know, I mean, you think about this, how he gets into this, and he's told, this is what you're going to do. You know, when we look at the prophets of old, in the Old Testament, they weren't asked, they were told. And so, you know, we always talk within the ministry about the permissive will of God. When you talk about the permissive will, you kind of think of Jonah, where God did allow him to run away. He didn't kill him right away. But he put him through enough stuff to make him want to go back and do what God wanted him to do. There is God's will, and then there is your will, which God most of the time will allow you to go that way. And he will teach you along the way. That's the harder route. We call that the permissive will. And there are people that never do make it in the regular will of God, because they live constantly in their own little permissive will of God. But see, make no mistake about it, the Apostle Paul had no choice here. He was told, he was shown, and that's it. And he says, when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. So now, this is ironic, because in order for Paul to see, he was knocked off his high horse, and not only that, he saw a great light, and now he couldn't see. Before, he had never seen the Lord, and he thought he knew the light, he thought he knew the truth, but in order to see the truth, he had to literally see the light and become blind again, so that in that blindness, he would understand what really happened. Because when you go through something, you see a light, and all of a sudden you're blind, that'll wake you up. But, he says, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, now he also, not only, now see, he makes a point of this, a devout man according to the law, but it was the Lord that told him to go and pray for Paul. So, we're talking about a believer who happens to be a Jew, and he was a devout man according to the law. So he was a believer in the Lord, but he still kept the law. But he believed in the Lord. Now see, when you read about the law within the books of Acts, most of your churches, the Gentile churches, will never cover, because we are afraid to death of the law. There's nothing the matter with the law. Matter of fact, as a Christian, you do keep certain portions of the law automatically, and you probably don't even know it. Now, let's go into verse 13. And he says, and came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him. So this is a guy, he just simply prayed, and Paul was healed of blindness. You know, I'm always astounded when I read these things. Do you know how hard it is when you're in a church, and you're a believer, you know, and I take America. This is the same way in a lot of countries. You know, the comfortable Western countries, you know. We have all of our medicine. We have our doctors. I mean, I don't have the medicine. I don't use it. We have our natural stuff that we utilize and other things. But, you know, our doctor is the Lord. We believe in the divine healing. But I've been in the hospital, and doctors have been used, you know, to give me back my life and help me. But the bottom line of it is that you look at this, you know. I mean, you read about miracles, and it just happens. It's the way it is, see. But in our life today as Christians in the world, and I don't mean all the world, I mean mainly in the West. We call the West that has, it's hedonistic. It is secular, carnal, it's religious. And of course, you can put Australia in it, you could put New Zealand, you could put America, you can put Canada, you can put the UK, the EU, you know, I mean, that's what I mean. People that have lived free lives, been free to do what they wanted pretty much. But see, the power and the deliverance and the miracles weren't easy. See, in the book of Acts, it was just a fact of life. It was the way it was. And when we talk about the brethren and the persecution that's going on overseas, the power of God and healing and the supernatural work of God is common. It's natural. They live with this. In America, we don't. We try to. But you see, being rich and materialistic, hedonistic, it costs the society and it costs the church. And we still try to believe, but we don't have the same thing as the book of Acts. We have faith in the Lord, but Christians and churches are bound up with a lot of sickness. And, you know, we go to our doctors, and a lot of times, if healings occur, it's the last thing, you know, you go to the Lord, the very last. It's a lot of different, but it's not like this in Acts. In Acts, it is part of the faith. Now see, this is what I'm trying to get at. It should be our faith. It should be part of who we are. And that's the way it is. Now see, we do pray healing, and we do that. My kids were raised up seeing that. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that we need more of it. And, of course, Ananias then says to Paul, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Now, see, this is the crux of an apostle. You're chosen of God. You know his will. You have seen him. And you've heard his voice. Okay? That's the apostolic evidence. Now, of course, we have a lot of people today that call themselves apostles and every other thing. But, you know, you don't try to attempt what Paul's doing without this kind of an anointing and this call. In Acts 22:15, "For thou shalt be as witness unto all men of what thou hast seen." And that's just chilling. When you think that Paul, one minute, was tearing up the church, and he thought he knew the truth and was living in the light of God. He didn't know that he wasn't doing what he should have been doing, that it wasn't the truth. You know, and it's not that the law was evil, it's just that there was, Christ had come, and there was a new covenant now, and God had declared that all men would be guilty so that all men would be able to be saved through Christ. And so now Paul has literally seen the light. He's literally seen the Lord. He's literally heard his voice. And he's been blinded, which also, this is real, Paul. You can't see. You're going to sit around for 3 days. You're not going to go anywhere. You're going to be praying. You're going to be thinking about this. You're going to be fasting. You're going to wonder what's going on. And you're going to come to your senses while you're blind, while you're thinking, while you're fasting, while you're meditating. And here, he doesn't say, but it was a while before Ananias went over to see him. Because you give him time. And of course, when, by the time Ananias shows up, Paul has had a chance to think about it. He hasn't gone anywhere. And so the light comes on, literally. And so Paul says in verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus." Calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence to the Gentiles. So that's why, and Paul actually went to Damascus. I mean, he was there for a lot of years before he really got out and got going. And verse 22, And they gave him audience unto his word, and then lifted up their voices, and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out, and cast off their clothes, and threw dust up near. Now this is a typical stubborn Jew here. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Now see, this is the truth. Paul knew the law. And see, this is one of the reasons he's going to wind up going to Caesar eventually. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, are you a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, What with a great sum obtained I this freedom? And Paul said, But I was freeborn. Now this is amazing. Paul was freeborn. The captain had to pay for it. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after that he knew he was a Roman, because they had bound him. And on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands, and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. And this is, you know, this really is an amazing part when we talk about it. You know, you have Paul. And the thing that you have here is that Paul uses the law in order, you know, to have a little justice. And, you know, he just doesn't let things go, you know. He knows his rights. And he, you know, tells them about it. Now see, that again refers me to America. Now in America, things may be bad, more than you think. There's a lot of turmoil in America, a lot of problems. Under Obama, we saw Christians getting, you know, being sued because of, you know, the gay lesbian thing, that didn't like it because they wouldn't do things they liked. And so they would sue the cake maker and with various things. But you see, the thing of it is, in America, though, we do have laws still. We are still have certain freedoms. And so we can utilize those as Christians and say, wait a minute. You know, I am a freeborn American, and I am here, and I have rights, and you can't do that to me. And we have now, thank God, like Jay Sekulow and other lawyers who were Christian, who have taken things to the Supreme Court, who have stood in for people like Pastor Brunson and others overseas. It's part of their ministry. And there are people today that utilize this stuff, you know. And this is so important, you know. And so while you're in America, or you may be in some other country, there are laws. And people just don't have a right, you know, to go do some of the things they want to do. And the Jews really didn't have a right to riot. But the Jews were known as people that caused problem within the Roman Empire. That's why they tried to keep them placated so they could control them. And they knew that wherever they went, if they did things right and played it right, they could come up against them and cause chaos and trouble for those they didn't like doing stuff. That's the way they did it time and time again. Now, in this instance, they tried it in Jerusalem. And they would have killed Paul, but see, it wasn't the Lord's will. It wasn't his time at all. And in the end, it's going to be that fact that he is a Roman citizen that's going to deliver him back up to Rome itself. So all of these things are very, very important in how this works together. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless those that hear this word, Lord God. Move in their hearts. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Amen. I like the way this that God speaks to him and deals in his life to bring him around.
Yeah.
You know, that's exciting.
It is. It is. Yep, I enjoy this. I like this.
Me too.
There's a lot of things we can learn from it. And so, folks, we're going to be getting out of here.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. We love you. We pray for you. We truly appreciate you. And may God richly bless you. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar and part two of what?
Pentecost.
Pentecost. How could I forget that? Part two of Pentecost.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night,
we'll
everybody.
See you.
We'll
Shalom.
See you tomorrow.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, Shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.